Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atira. And welcome to bbsradio.com. We're excited today because we have some great news. Mary Ellen's going to be my guest, and we're going to talk about manifesting your dreams, how you start to put into motion those things that you always dream about and think are so impossible. Well, lately, Mary Ellen seems to have absolutely synchronicity down to an absolute fine art. So I'm going to remind you of our call-in number, and then I will introduce Mary Ellen. Our call-in number is 1-877-876-5227. And if you'll please wait till half past the hour to call in, we'll take phone calls there. But Mary Ellen, welcome to my show.
Hi, Atira, and everybody else out there.
Yeah, you've sort of had an amazing 2 weeks of manifesting. Most people know you because you write the Angel Scribe newsletter and you're caretaker of the website angelscribe.com. But and also because you're a famous author of 2 books, Expect Miracles and A Christmas Filled with Miracles.
That's right.
But you've kind of been doing the online newsletter now for what, about 12 years?
It's coming up 12 years in January.
Yeah. But your real dream has been to have a column in a newspaper or a magazine, correct?
Correct. And the reason is I didn't need the fame or the fortune. What I wanted the column for was I knew that the Internet reaches some people. But I met a lady once. Her name was Denise. And she was in the parking lot at the hospital. And I was just walking around waiting for another friend to come out. So I walked her over the door. And she's very elderly. And I walked her up to her doctor's appointment. And then I left and was just hiking around the parking lot to kill some time in the pretty weather. And she came out 2 minutes later, and I asked her if she had the wrong date, and she said yes. And she asked if she could walk with me a little bit, and I said, oh, I'd love to spend some time with you. You know, total stranger, that's how I am with everybody. And as she was getting ready to go back to her car, I said, well, I wish you good luck with your appointment tomorrow. I hope you pass all the tests. And she got this really weird look and said, it doesn't matter if I do. And I realized she was so depressed. It was like she didn't have a reason to live. So the reason I'd wanted an angel and miracle column or of just miracles, something uplifting, is so that people like she can read it. She doesn't have Internet access, I asked her. But she needs something to pick her up. Just the last few days while I was waiting for to see myself on national news, I've watched more media than I have in probably 10 years, and it reminded me why I started the Angels and Miracles newsletter. The reason
it really is that most headline news is something depressing.
Oh, my God.
It really is like the murderers of the world get headlines, and all the things that really shouldn't get the headlines do. I mean, it's like they want to grab us and pull us by the heartstrings and squish us, rather than pull our heartstrings and uplift us to know that there are good things going on in the world.
Well, do you remember that time that we were on TV and half of the mail list was excited to meet both of us because they've only seen us through the written word, and they bumped our five-minute segment with 3.5 minutes of some murderer in California, and we were in Portland at the time. You know, they could have waited till the 5 o'clock news and just given people something good, but they just were feasting on trying to be the number one person to get it out there.
Well, and I know so many, and I know you know a lot of people, too, that just absolutely don't even listen to the news anymore because it's so drama.
Oh, that's a good way to say it. Well, I started to write down the words that they were saying over the last few days, and it was almost like they were hypnotically saying attack, death, destruction, drownings, kidnapping, and I thought, how much can you listen to that without just feeling like Chicken Little and the sky is falling? And so it reminded me again why I wanted to continue doing my newsletter. So I put in the bottom of every newsletter that my dream is to have a newsletter. I think partly, too, because my grandmother was editor of a newspaper. And, she'd predicted when I was in grade 3 that I'd be a famous author one day, which I am, having sold 40,000 books. But my dreams
further. I have to say something about that. That mm-hmm. You know, it sounds really glamorous when we say you've sold 40,000 books.
50 cents each.
Right. That's what my point is. I really, you know, as we travel and we do a lot of workshops and things, too, people always are coming up to us and giving us their manuscripts and wanting, you know, to get published and everything. And I really want to encourage you to keep your dream alive, but also do your homework, guys. You have to know a lot before you go. Before you get to the agent or the publisher, because if you don't, it can be a really traumatic trip.
But one of those Loomis trucks full of money does not pull up to your door when you're an author. What happens is it becomes a vehicle. You know, it's getting 50 cents a book royalty, and it takes a year and a half sometimes from the time they sell the book before you get your royalty. And then I had to pay for all my travel, food, hotel expenses. And so, really,
everybody's really under the illusion that the minute you get picked up by a book publishing company, that you are actually whisked away.
Well, that's why I joke and say famous author, because you haven't heard me say rich yet. But you know what? My spirit's so rich because the books become a tool to help uplift other people. So, what happened this week? Oh, so much has happened. Where did it start, Atira? Oh, well, I started a couple weeks ago when I just wanted to help the local Cottage Grove Sentinel. The newspaper was having editor problems. It was like their heart wasn't in the newspaper or the community. And so I went up to the publisher, and I offered some suggestions that I really felt would put the heart back into the newspaper and help it out and support it, and I offered a few suggestions. And she jumped on one of them and asked me to do it, and I looked at her, and I thought, wait. That's not what I really, really wanted to do. And she asked if I would do a column on pets. And my brain's doing little but, because I'd always hope for a miracle column. But I thought, you know what? When God brings you an opportunity, you never, never say no. So I started to think about it, and I named the column Pet, Chips, and Tail. And you've seen it in other newspapers like Pet of the Week, but really our pets are for life. And I wanted to tell a tale, something funny and humorous to uplift people with all those, you know, destructive, negative words that onslaught us in the media.
Well, and, you know, it's true, Marielle. Often we have in our mind's eye, you know, what we want to manifest, and we pray about it and we meditate, mm-hmm. and we think it's going to look like a certain thing. And then, you know, we almost like throw up a tantrum like little children when it doesn't look like what we think it should be. Because sometimes, you know, the angels take us in a really roundabout way to change many, many people's lives, not just, you know, the thing that we thought it would look like. Because, you know, spirit's bigger than us.
And it's not about us when we ask to be a vehicle. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know what, if somebody sees a furry animal and a smiling owner beside it, just that alone will touch you in your thymus area and pick you up. And even if you don't know the person or the animal, you still have a warm, fuzzy feeling. And then, so I identify who they are, and then the column's called Pet Tips and Tales, and the tale of the pet is who it is, if it was homeless or abandoned or rescued, how it came into the family, and then something funny about it, something that nobody else knows that this animal does, that everybody in the family laughs about. And then the tip is the serious part. It's the part about what do you know about this animal that keeps it healthy that we could incorporate in our family to benefit our pets?
Well, in fact, you shared something about one of your tips and tales about, I believe it was parrots and Teflon.
Yeah.
I thought, share with my listening audience about that, because I thought it was so overwhelmingly amazing. If it affects birds that way, uh-oh.
Yeah.
What about us?
What this person had suggested was, well, first, everybody knows about the canary in the mine, that they're very sensitive. And when they've passed out, you're next. And so she said you need to keep perfumes away from your birds that you have at home, and especially your Teflon pans. And I thought, oh, my gosh. You know, my husband had bought, he loves cooking as his hobby, and he bought a whole bunch of new Teflon pans with a little red thing that lit up so you could tell where the food was at. It was a new, you know, gizmo in the kitchen. And what happened was every night, about 45 minutes after dinner, I was asthmatic. I couldn't stand it. And now when I read that, I understand because of my condition of my lungs, I was the canary in the house with this particular product, it appears. So.
Well, they say that actually Teflon does give off fumes. So that's very
interesting. I had no clue till I read this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then other people have given rescue numbers where they got their pets from and warned people about it. And one cat went missing in town, so instead of putting, you know, that Mao was missing in Cottage Grove, we just said he took an unexpected vacation, and if anybody had seen him sightseeing around the city, would the police let his owner know so he could get home? Just cute things like that.
I think it is uplifting, and it's also bringing small town energy back into your town. I really think that as we have sprawled as cities and communities, you know, that comfort zone that, you know, having connection with our neighbors has gotten lost. I know even in particularly where I live, I used to know everybody on this hill because there was, you know, everybody had lived here a long time or they owned the homes, and now it's become a lot of renting houses.
Mm-hmm.
And so certainly we don't know, we don't keep in touch with each other.
You don't notice the
much.
Faces. You don't notice with faces if they're in grief because you haven't seen them long enough. You don't know them if they're ill. And so what I wanted to do here was put in the owner's face so we would have recognition, go, I know her. But you know what, Atira? It's so fun to be famous. That famous means two people you don't know are talking about you somewhere else. So,
you know, that's a really interesting story because I remember early in my career, I was at a Barnes & Noble, and I had done a segment on Evening Magazine, that show. And I was in the metaphysical section of a Barnes & Noble looking, and this lady was talking about having seen this lady on Evening Magazine with crystal skulls and da-da-da, and she was talking to her friend, and she looked up, and she goes, oh, my God, it looks a lot like that lady standing right there. I can remember for that moment in my mind, you know, five people would have seen that, and they would all be my friends, you know. So it was like, busted cosmically.
Well, tell them the other famous moment that happened at Barnes & Noble when two people were talking about a book they just loved.
Oh, I'll come back to that. But then the next thing that happened is I go home, and the UPS man comes to my door to deliver some things connected with my business. He goes, I saw you on Evening Magazine last night, and I went, oh, my God. I was, like, mortified because in my mind, at that time, just my private friends and family, of course, would be the only ones viewing
it. We could hardly wait for it to come on.
I know. It's so funny. But, you know, you just don't register it. It's so interesting.
And that's how fast people lose their privacy, you know, walking through an airport or something like that.
You really learn to really, having worked with people like Nick Bionic and Doreen Virtue and Marianne Williamson, people who are in stage and thousands,
mm-hmm.
I mean, 3,000 to 6,000, John Holland even,
mm-hmm.
you know, I really have a lot of respect, and because we've worked a lot of those events, too, to help out, that I really try to honor their privacy, that 2 minutes or 5 minutes they need to go to the restroom, you know,
mm-hmm.
because they just are inundated,
and
too.
People, too.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah, and so, truly, it's interesting. Another time I was in Barnes & Noble, and this lady was in line. I think we were in line, and I turned around, and this lady had your book. And she was, I go, that's a great book. She goes, oh, well, that's nice. And I said, no, I mean, it's really a great book. I'm in it. And she said, oh, sure. Yeah, right. And I said, no, I really am in the book.
So you give her your business card. And then when you said you were my best friend.
I said, I'm her best friend. And she goes, oh, yeah, now, yeah, right. You know, so it was really funny. She kind of like turned beet red when she found my name was really in there. But it's fun. It is fun.
That's fun to be famous. So what I wanted to do is take somebody who never had that opportunity to experience that tickling joy within their heart. And so when I go around Cottage Grove now and I see a child with a dog or an adult with a dog or someone playing with their cat or sitting on the porch, I take their picture and put them in the newspaper so they can have that moment of fame. And I want to tell you, they are the best advertisers. A lot of people think that my idea is cutesy, but it's so powerful, Atira.
I think actually it's very heartwarming, too, because
mm-hmm.
sometimes those people, you know, that you pick, because you're picking intuitively as well sometimes, you know, are in crisis in their lives
mm-hmm.
or, you know, it appears in the local paper, but how many times does it get sent to relatives and friends, too?
Oh, they're
so
going.
So it changes the world.
Exactly. And they're going in there buying paper, and they're putting up at their cubicle at work. But before it comes out in the paper, they're telling everybody in town and their brother to watch for the local newspaper. And so there's this happy energy happening. So as we're changing the editors, everybody's noticing the paper's changing, and they're seeing their loved ones in it. So that's really positive.
Well, I think, too, as we get into this time period where we are in media land, where more people are reading newspapers and things on the Internet as well, you know, the papers are getting thinner and thinner,
yeah.
The local papers. And so I think it's encouraging, and I'm encouraging all my clients that are listening, all my listeners, radio listeners, and people that listen to BBS Radio, is to think about that you could start something like this in your own community. Because it really is that, you know, we never know where God's going to send us. God got us all that is, you know. And so we can change lives like this, or ask for a column, ask for this column to be syndicated. But to reach out in your local community and become part of the answers.
Not everybody's a writer, and not everybody's social and bubbly like we are, but there's something everybody can do.
Absolutely.
So the miracle just kind of evolved. So here I've waited 11 years, you know, God's timing, not mine. And then the other day I was out walking, and I saw a TV truck go by. And I just had this fleeting thought of, oh, I wonder how I could get on TV just for fun. And I thought, you know, I just sent the newsletters out about how my cats can swim. But I'll just send them the photos of the cats. Maybe they'd like that. It's summertime. Oh, my gosh. 5 minutes later, the first TV station called, and he knew it would be a good station. So Jared Meyer came down with a camera. He couldn't hardly believe it when he saw the cat in the pool take off. He had to put his camera down.
Yeah, you have to describe, because we're on radio. First of all, you have Fufu kitties, what I call Fufu kitties. They're beautiful silver Persians.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they don't like
they're
water.
They're long-haired. Cats are not naturally lovers of water.
No, and we've got a pool in our backyard. And so I wanted the cats to know that if they fell in the pool, they could swim. But more
right.
than that, I wanted to know they could swim.
Yeah, and you weren't just drop kicking your cat into the pool.
Oh no, we turned the heat up to 90 degrees for
right.
a few hours just
okay.
to make it cat accessible.
Yeah, but really, it was because you really were conscious that they could get excited, go after a bird, and land up in the pool.
Exactly.
Or slip trying to get a drink too. I've seen other
yes.
stray cats come into your backyard and try to drink out of the pool.
Mm-hmm. My cats love watching them.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so it was for all the right reasons, and there was no waves, and it was safe, and and I was right there. So what we do is we've never hurt our cats. We love them, and they trust us 100%. So I was holding, I started with Nimbus and walked very gently in the water with him. It was warm, so it wasn't like a shock to his system as it penetrated his fur. And he was like, whoa, what's this all about? But he still, you know, he didn't go up over my head. He just stayed there. And then he took his little paws, like when you see a cat wanting out a glass window or a dog and they start to scratch it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically he was trying to run as if is up.
So sort of doing the dog paddle,
yeah,
only the
it was
cat
more like,
paddle.
I want out of here and trying to run away. And the little paws are moving. I thought, well, that looks like a swimming stroke. So I held him on the chest so he'd be buoyant. And he swam, and within a second I just dropped my hand and he swam to the edge of the pool. And he looked so beautiful. It was magnificent. It was just like angel wings. You know, his fur was going out, and he was gliding with such grace. It was just beautiful.
And it's really quite amazing because they really keep their head above water.
Yeah.
They're really amazing in
yep.
the pool, yeah.
And so Jared took pictures of all, everybody thinks it's one cat in the pool, but they're silver Persians. They all look alike. He took a
she
picture.
She has five.
Yeah.
For the listening audience, one won't do.
And it's so cute. They do the little from the back because Miss Wings doesn't have a tail. You can see her little, she's white cat, but there's black at the ends of her feet like she walked through cinders like Cinderella. And they can see them picking up. It's just beyond cute. Well, people who are dog people probably aren't enjoying this conversation, but us cat people understand.
No, I think it's really, I mean, dogs are more natural swimmers, most dogs.
And they shake themselves off when they get out of the water, where a cat meticulously cleans itself with a tongue.
Mm-hmm.
It is not in love with getting wet. So
So this really was something that started out sort of a necessity, making sure your cats would be safe
right.
if they fell in the pool, to really a story that was a local TV but went quickly to be all over the United States.
Oh, well, as soon as the rival TV station saw it, they wanted part of it. And the host, Carla, had a great idea. She had a new rescue kitten. And so she brought Boondoggle down, his little Maine Coon
okay.
kitten.
When you say rescue kitten, for those who may not know, that means was rescued from a shelter or something?
Well, actually, it came from a homeless community where the homeless
okay.
people moved on and left a bunch of pets.
Okay.
So it didn't even come from the shelter. It didn't make it that far, I don't
mm-hmm.
think.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so she had Boondoggle, and it's only, I think, 12 weeks old, very young. And
mm-hmm.
she wanted to see if all cats could swim. It's not like she was going to take her cat to the beach or anything,
mm-hmm.
but this was her angle about cats swimming. So she brought it in the water, and we put a leash on it in case it slipped down or anything or got away when it got to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And she held it out like, go ahead and swim, and it just floated there like a little furry balloon.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't move.
Like, oops.
I thought, well, that's unusual. So I took it from her, and I found the leash was around its back foot, and it couldn't move it. So then, as soon as I untangled it, it took its little paws and started to swim, the I want to get out of here swim.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, there, your cat's ready now, like as if I had reared up its little engines,
mm-hmm.
handed it back to her, and he swam away, and she couldn't even believe it. And then you retrieve your cat, and by the third time you've done it, that cat can change directions. It's a strong swimmer. It's really good for their
and
muscles.
And it feels safe. And it feels safe.
The look of confidence. First,
right.
when they start, their ears go down flat outwards like little helicopter ears.
Like, what were you thinking?
Yeah, like they really want to get out of there. But in the end, then their ears are straight up with comfort. And I noticed the first time we did Nimbus, who always sits on the scratching post and looks out at the backyard and the pool, he sat there like a sphinx with great comfort, like he had mastered something. You know, my cat's eyes are as big as human eyes, so you can really read into them. So then what happened was, now we had it on two local stations, so it's been showing for 4 days. Well, then it got picked up. Fox TV, Shepard Smith showed it last night, and I was getting phone calls from Texas and Florida and North Carolina. People were so excited. And then they were posting it on the
Internet. And because you have an international newsletter, it was really exciting for people to get to see you sort of in your own real environment and your cats, which have been subjects of many, many newsletters.
Yes. Well, for 12 years, people have been seeing me in the written word, but never in real life. So this was so fun because now they saw me. You know, how many people, when you show up on TV, either in your nightie or your bathing suit, hey, Atira, in your worst dreams.
That is one's worst dream.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't know if all your listeners know this, but Atira got caught, literally, honest to goodness,
thanks.
On TV in her nightie. And she made me not promise to tell anybody, but it
yeah,
was
yeah, never interview your friend because they will air your cosmic slip on radio.
That
yeah.
was so fun.
It
okay.
is interesting, though, how things happen that way. So really, within a matter of weeks, you've had two of your absolute dreams come true.
More so than that. I am having so much fun. I mean, you don't get paid to be on TV. I get $25 to be a pet columnist. But you know what? I'm reaching out and I'm touching people. I'm making them smile. They're giggling. Oh, my gosh. Sally in Texas, when she saw the cats on TV, she said, I was just stirring my spaghetti. she says, I knew the minute I saw you in the pool, that was you. And she was so thrilled. And but most people are so tickled that all those negative words that they're beaten up with and all the negative conditions, just to see something
but
funny.
I think more than that, Mary Ellen, there's a factor here that you have written this column for almost 12 years, and you've come into people's home. You've become part of their life. It's like Ann Landers was for a lot of generation, you know, where there was a generation of women, including my mother, who, you know, religiously read Ann Landers.
I did.
It was like they sat down, or Irma Bombeck, either one of those two columnists.
Yeah.
You sat down and you had your cup of coffee or tea, and that was your friend. That was your kind of camaraderie, understood you as a housewife and or whatever. And so it became like an extension of the family, just like for many of the older TV shows, for a lot of people when TV first came out. You know,
mm-hmm,
they tuned
exactly.
in every night. And they were good feel. I mean, leave it to Bieber and things like that. I mean, they were funny, but they were still heartwarming, you know? You could see a little bit of yourself in the things that happened with different parts
and
of
and people who are having
families.
Difficult times, they saw that other people worked it through and it gave them hope. And so in the end, my pet Tips and Tail is the perfect column for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm inspiring people. People are happier, you know, and I'm educating them on a level where you're not beating them over the head with a baseball bat saying, do that. It's like, did you know Teflon could, you know, affect
your
birth.
Lungs, yeah.
And then maybe if you've got children, are you cooking with Teflon? Have you thought
well,
about
or,
that?
Well, or if you've lost birds, if you've bought birds and continuously losing your bird and you don't know why.
I have no clue.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's one thing that's important. You know, it's informative, it's uplifting, but, you know, I think for our listening audience, it's also that if you have a dream and you want to pursue it, have the courage to keep looking where the opening is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are a writer and you want to write, maybe today you're writing a Pets and Tails, Tips and Tails, or maybe you're writing an ad, or you're doing something in a local newspaper or a local or magazine even. You know, and maybe today it doesn't look like what you want it to and it's a minimum wage job, but tomorrow it could be the answer to something else, because the other thing that comes with this is experience, learning things, learning what kind of layouts to do, what size pictures you want to appear. You know, there's so much to this kind of stuff, writing. People, you know, are always talking to me because we're, you know, I still haven't got my book out, I admit it.
Ooh, yes.
I know. But, you know, it's a process. And for some people, they sit down and they absolutely, you know, things come out of them. But they have the manuscript for 30 years and never do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people, you know, struggle, finally get the book out, and who knows, it takes off. But,
or me, I didn't even have a book.
Right, or Power Spirit comes to you and gives you the opportunity. I'm sure that the person who wrote the Harry Potters really never, I mean, she was a single mom starving, basically,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now she's in an incredible position, and I really understand this helps a lot of young writers reach their goals. So there's so much to this manifesting and dreaming. You know, I just don't want to focus on it, just your story. We happen to be telling your story today and talking about it, but really to not give up your dreams, you know, to go forward with it. There's a wonderful book called Ask and It's Given by Esther and Jerry Hicks. It's a Hay House book. Check it out at www.hayhouse.com, because it does have, like, how to do manifesting things, how to write something so you keep reading it over and get towards it. That's one thing I have to tell you about Mary Ellen, is that she is consistent and persistent. Even though she sometimes doesn't know what it's going to look like, she never gave up on this dream. And I really believe it's going to go further than what it looks like in this moment.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like hanging on. It's like a little roller coaster. You're just hanging on, seeing where it's going to go
next.
But
you really can't say, oh, I want to be a famous psychic. You can't just say it one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would that look like? I mean, really, you have to get
it. I want
to
be a psychic, but having a next best friend that's amazing psychic is pretty cool, too.
Well, I hate to tell you, Mary Ellen, after hanging around me all these years, you are terribly rubbing off anymore. It's like, I have to tell you, now you're spooking me.
Well, I remember when I was little, I'd say something, and it would be in people's minds, they'd look shocked, and I'd have no clue that it would just fall out. I didn't, but it was just, I feel things in my heart.
See, but that's what kids do, and that's why kids mm-hmm. are so very clairvoyant.
So anyways, it's been a magical ride the last little while, and it all started because I didn't go in there demanding my column. I thought, this newspaper is in trouble. How can I help? And I didn't think that the publisher knew exactly the way certain people in town were being treated by the editor.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tried to make things better and bring it to her awareness. And through that, she's learned to trust my opinion, because if something looks bad, I tell her it's bad. I don't try to suck up to her, because I really want to see it better. It's like if a teacher took in your writing assignment and your math and didn't circle your mistakes, you could never get better. And what she said is she appreciates that every time I see a situation that needs, well, could word critical, but I don't like to say that can have some improvement.
Well,
there's a solution. I offer a solution for it.
Right, because everybody needs critique. Everybody grows by knowing what they got right and what they didn't get right, what is not clear sometimes, you know.
It's such a high-stress business. They really need our support.
So if you have questions about Mary Ellen's cats, her books, how she got started as an author, what kind of things she studied to make her writing more amazing, whatever, if you want to add, or you want to talk to us about what you saw, the cat swimming or anything, please remember to call in at 1-877-876-5227, and we'll take phone calls. So you're coming up to John Holland. John Holland is going to be here in town.
Yes, September 8th and 9th. He's going to be there, I think, from 7 to 9:30 the first evening in Seattle at the convention center.
With Hay House. And if you haven't heard the interview with John Holland, check out our archive shows. He was fabulous, and I'm hoping to have him back. He really a very, very gifted medium and really fun to interview, because he has so many stories and experiences to share.
He's awesome. He was on your July 6th archive show.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now that your cats are internationally famous swimmers, you're going to enter them in the Cat Olympics?
Cat celebrities.
There must be a Cat Olympics somewhere.
Well, my job's so funny, because this morning I rushed off to a brush fire, and took photos for the fire department, and then I stopped and took a photo for the newspaper, and then I tried to find some new pet celebrities for the Pet Tips and Tales, and then I sent out your newsletter, and then I'm collecting information so people can see the different video clips available on the cats. And now I'm on the radio, and then tonight I go to a volunteer fire department meeting. I, like, need a nap when I wake up in the morning.
Well, you know, it is exciting to share with the audience, too, how involved you can be in your community. And I think it's very important because I know a lot of people get depressed. You know, things happen to all of us in our lives. You know, we lose loved ones. You know, we lose jobs. Life gets kind of, you know, tossed and turned. And I really want to encourage people to know the one way to help get over depression is to volunteer.
Yes, when
and it doesn't have to be 50 million hours a week. Just because Mary Ellen gets carried away does not mean you have to.
I'm just playing. I'm being
angel
playland.
Yeah, it means that, you know, you can volunteer to drive somebody to the doctor's appointment who can't drive. You can volunteer at the local hospital. And you don't even have to leave your home. You know, you can volunteer by writing a letter for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who can't see. You know, and this is really getting brought home to me. My oldest sister has lost her eyesight pretty much. And I just, you know, because we're so lucky when we have everything that works in our lives. So when you start losing, you know, she's lost total sight in one eye and partial in another. You know, simple things like she can't drive now. She really can't see much TV. She can't write. She can't sew. And it's depressing. I mean, she's really depressed.
And cooking must be difficult.
Well, thank goodness she has some people that help her with the cooking. But, you know, she's saying, well, I don't even see the point of being here. And I had to really come up with, you know, how can I help her get over this, get into a different place? And I said, you know, the one thing she can still do is pray and to talk to people. Because I said she has a wealth of knowledge. So, you know, think of what your gift is. If you can write a letter, you know, find someone who needs
Wouldn't
letters
written.
Wouldn't
that be great? She could start the prayer line at her church. They could do
That's
a
That's really what
phone.
She did. I reconnected her with her church.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You never told me that.
Well, it just happened. And so I actually called her daughter and said, listen, we need to connect her with the church and get her involved in the prayer, because that's one thing everybody can do, pray.
That's wonderful.
You know? But so we can all be gifts, you know. We just had some actually tragic news that we just found out about Beth Avery's passing, which is a wonderful woman who worked with Nick Bunick in the Messenger's office. She just passed away.
She was always such a bright smile when we pop in there.
She was so wonderful. Mm-hmm. She really worked diligently with the Messengers and everything, and she had battled breast cancer, and we just got the news that she had passed. And unfortunately, we had a little lost contact with her probably in the last year a little bit. And so, you know, take time in your life not to lose contact with anybody. It's important. All these people come into our lives for a reason, and so we just want to send love and prayers out to Beth and her family. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
This is Nancy from Washington State.
Hi, Nancy.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. What you got going? What question you got for Mary Ellen?
Well, I kind of want to know, you know, she's so good at manifesting. I want to manifest my health better. And I've been working so hard on trying to find the right people, right places, using the right things. And I'm still having the problems with the fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, the pain, etc. Any suggestions?
Wow. Well, she's in Tacoma. Am I allowed to recommend the man I went to see up there when I had fibromyalgia?
You can actually email Mary Ellen, and she will answer that information to you directly.
Hopefully that'll be an answer to your prayer, Nancy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually helped to interview him. He's a very gifted Chinese medicine person.
Herbalist.
Herbalist. And so certainly we'll try and get that information out to you.
Okay.
But,
thank you very
one
much.
Of the things I want to talk about, that is a very difficult disease, and it's a very emotional disease. So metaphysically, it has to do often not feeling supported. So I just want you to know, get some support in your life in some way. And it doesn't have to be somebody doing things for you, just emotional support in some way, someone who, you know, will talk to Nancy or be supportive. And that is a illness that really, if you can find someone who does, and I'm not prescribing, I'm suggesting you do your own homework. I'm very clear about that. But that does myofascial release, and certainly talk to your doctor. But a lot of times it's because the body is releasing toxins, and it gets stuck in the myofascial layer and brings on that fatigue.
Okay.
And you also usually have terrible sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard.
So,
to
Mary Ellen, share with her the technique you use with the angels. Sleep. It really is an amazing technique.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Is that the rainbows of million hearts? No, that's different.
So it's holding hands with the angels.
Yeah.
Remember.
What the angels suggested was, and I didn't try it for 3 months, and then somebody told me they're having trouble sleeping. I said, well, I wrote this thing that the angels gave me 3 months ago. Do you want to try it? And they did, and they said it worked. So I tried it to prove it didn't work, Nancy, and every single time it works. So
oh my gosh.
It's not going to work this time. And what you do is, as you're lying there with your eyes closed, a lot of times you're worrying about this and that and the other thing, and most of us don't feel loved. So it's actually a little difficult to do to start with, but you take your right hand and you reach out and you take the maternal people in your family you love. Was it your mother, your grandmother, your foster mother, your stepmother? And you hold the hands of just the people you love the most. And then with your other hand, you take like your girlfriend's hand, your children's hand. And, I mean, I put in my kitty cats because I love them. And the people can be passed over. They can be living. They can live next door to you. They can live on the other side of the world. It doesn't matter. You're just literally honest to goodness, reaching out with the love, and you're taking each one of their hands. And as you do this, your circle is supposed to grow, but I have never got past four people.
Because some people have had traumatic childhoods and they don't have a lot of love around them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had bad marriages, they've had, you know, trauma in their life. The other thing you can do is take your angel hands.
Yes.
And then ask to take the next person that's your spiritual guide's hand. And in the same effect starts happening. And then if you start praying for those people or even your angels, guides, masters, whoever in your life is important, you will actually start feeling, I actually see it. Prayers come in to me like tiny pink hearts. So you'll actually start having a sensation. It'll start being warm in the center of your, usually in the middle of your, between your solar plex and your heart. It starts getting kind of warm, and you'll start really, really relaxing at a core level.
You know, the other thing I've done too, and I've seen it done in circles where people stand up, is once you've formed your circle, I mean, if you've really gotten Sami and you're still awake, people who have harmed you or hurt you, put them in the center of that. Because, you know, people who are hurting people, they cannot be happy. They cannot be having fun playing on the TV like I am or the newspaper column or having best friends like Atira because they're like cold and prickly. How rich can their life be? So I even put relatives in the center of my circle that I didn't understand and who hurt other people. And we all just sent them love. And you know what? It healed me. It wasn't about them. It healed me. But the other thing is to help your house, a psychologist told me one day, just take one room. You don't have to think of your whole house, but just take one room and start in one corner and work your way out. And just do a little bit every day, and pretty soon, before you know it, you will have gone through your whole house. And when you get rid of things you're no longer needing and they're just sitting there and you're walking around, it frees your spirit up from encumbrances, too.
Well, I have to be honest with you. If you have fibromyalgia, you don't feel like cleaning houses very much.
Well, that's part of the problem.
You can't move. So what I suggest, I really think, is take something that you really love that you can focus on and use it as a focal point. And because when you have this disease, a lot of times you're just tired. You're like laying in bed thinking,
yeah,
okay, I don't get the point of this. I ache from nose to toes. Where am I going? And so one thing you can do is talk to your body because the body is very smart. I mean, the body is an amazing regeneration thing. And there's a wonderful book called You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. It's been around forever. And I swear by that book. It's like if anybody's got any illness out there listening in my audience, go buy yourself this book and work it. It's an incredible little workbook. But in the back of it, it talks about emotional reasons for illnesses, too. And, in fact, I know Louise Hay has done articles on fibromyalgia, so it would be good to look on www.hayhealth.com. But while you're laying there and talking to your body, you know, honor your body saying, okay, today maybe I'm not having the best day at the cosmic office. And say, you know, I release the need to be in pain. Because sometimes we create pain in our body when we are been emotionally trapped. Does that help, Nancy?
Uh-huh. Yes, it does.
Yeah, and so what you do is you don't get in the whole judgment thing of why or, you know, if onlys and what if. Because woulda, shoulda, coulda didn't happen. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Because uh-huh.
if you could have done it different, you would have. So what you do is so you just forgive yourself, forgive your body, forgive your big toe for this moment for hurting, and just go up your body and say, in this moment, I forgive all pain from my body. And as you do this, and I know it seems silly at the time, but honest to God, it works. And the more you repeat it, the faster it starts leaving your body.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's an amazing, and I know it works because I actually had fibromyalgia at one time. I manifested by falling down 22 stairs. And
you would pick the magic number to fall down, too.
In a foreign country. And it took me 3 years to get diagnosed. And what I did was when I found out what I had, I went and talked to everybody who had remission. I didn't talk to the people that were stuck in wheelchairs and everything else. I said, what are the people who have had remission have in common? And then I followed that train. They had all done acupuncture. They had all done meditations of some kind. And so that's what I suggest is talk to everybody you can that's had remission and find out, and then talk to your body and say, you know, does this resonate with me? And,
okay.
Of course, keep, you know, get a good doctor and keep in good contact with them.
Here's the other thing, too, Tara. When we met Louise Hay, and she was autographing our books, we met her through a miracle, actually, 2,200 people in the audience, and we didn't think we'd ever get her to sign her books, but we were okay with that. We were just so happy to see her because she's been such a wonderful mentor to so many of us. And then we walk outside of the event when the second speaker is talking, and she's standing there all by herself, and we walked right up to her and got her books autographed. But she looked at me, and then she looked down at the book, and then she looked up at me again, and she wrote in my book about seeking joy. And do you know what? Because I try to project to be this positive, bubbly person, because it's like if I'm depressed, it'll pull me too far down. I just need to maintain happy to keep myself buoyant, too. And so what happened is when she said that, I realized I really don't feel joy. I mean, I put up Christmas lights in the house to help bring joy, but it struck me so deeply. I thought about it, and then I started to do things that created joy in my life, no matter how minor they were. And a lot of times it's when you make somebody else smile. Like when I went to Eugene yesterday, I kept saying to total strangers, did you see my cats on TV? And they look at me, start
Darling, first of all, you don't know any total strangers.
Well, person after person was like, yes, that was so funny. I didn't know cats could swim. And it took them, there was one lady I saw in the hospital waiting room, and she had a black eye. And I don't know what she went through, but she was, you could see on her face that she had imploded. And as soon as I said that, she was like, yes. You know, she said, was that you? And she got so happy. And I went, now, that's power. When you can take somebody who's down and all you can say is, did you see my cats on TV? And change them, flip their energy. There
right.
is such power in that.
But, Nancy, I really don't want you to get discouraged. You can. This disease, I absolutely know, can go into remission and absolutely can get rid of it. It is a focal point of really hanging out with you. And sometimes, too, it's asking, dear spirit, what is my downtime about?
Uh-huh.
Personally, me and Mary Ellen have decided our downtime is going to be on a beach in Florida with our friends.
I was hoping you
from now on. But you know, whatever our downtime is, sometimes, I mean, I just went through a thing. I, you know, manifested high blood pressure. I want to be honest with you. You know, as metaphysical as I am, sometimes I don't duck the cosmic 2x4s.
I was hoping you could write your book while you're on your back.
But you know what it was? It was a great opportunity. It brought me back to my prayer life big time. And it really brought me back to writing letters to people that I hadn't written in a while that I love. And I thought, you know what, this is a great opportunity to sit down and say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I care about you. So there's tons of things you can do right from where your armchair is at this moment. Don't get disheartened, Nancy.
Thank you so much.
Blessings, darling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. Not everybody can go out and teach their cat to swim.
Remember that book, Diamonds in Your Own Backyard? I'll have to write one that says Water in Your Own Backyard.
Well, I think it's important, too, for people who are like Nancy going through health issues. You know, I used to think, oh, my God, every time anybody had a health issue, it was like a crisis and, oh, my God, and get crazy over it. And then I got that, you know, there's a spiritual reason to everything. And I truly, truly in my heart believe this. And so I really encourage you, if you are going through a mental, emotional, depression, physical, whatever, cancer, whatever it is, just ask spirit, ask your angels, guides, and masters, and ask for help, ask for the insight. we just don't always have the answer, but if we, because mainly we don't ask.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is, too, is I ask God to bring me things for my health, because I used to be so exhausted. If I saw a piece of paper on the floor, I'd go, yeah, I'll get it later. It hurts to think about bending over and picking
it up. It's really true. When I first met you, I mean, really, I would go to your house and we would sit and talk, and you'd say, I have to lay down. So you'd go up and lay down, and I'd sit in a chair, and we'd talk.
Yeah. And so I would ask, because I knew if I could get sick, I could get better. So I used to say, please, God, bring me answers. And one night, somebody new from the health food store told me about this chiropractor. He's about 85 now. But he helped me for free, and then he would walk through Point Defiance Park, and we walked barefoot. He's 75, and I'm, like, really sick, 42. And he said that he never thought I could keep up. The minute I hit that park without my shoes on, I was 5 years old, and we were climbing cliffs and was swinging in the trees and walking on the beach and climbing over logs. And it brought my spirit back. It literally brought me
back. Well, not only that,
it
actually really believe healed your lungs, because your lungs are very, very bad at the time. You had life-threatening asthma, which often is psychologically, spiritually, is the inability to take in life.
Right.
You
lack
know, one of,
joy.
Of the things that I love about Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life, is it does have in the back, really, the emotional causes for a lot of diseases. And it's really very, very accurate. I mean, the first time I read it, I, like, threw it across the room. I don't want to hear that. You know? Like, what does she think she knows? You know?
I love it. And everybody calls it her little blue book, her very first one.
Actually,
I have three books beside my bed, and that's one. So anytime anybody calls me up, I flip it to them and to the page on the illness, and we read it, and it's just like, oh, it's so
and
accurate.
It gives you the affirmation to help you with it, too.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, here it is, you know, look at your cosmic basement stuff, but it's also how to heal it.
And the nice thing is that she had some really bad cancer. I would think it was terminal, wouldn't you, Atira?
I really got issue with that. I think that word should be banned from the English language.
Go for it.
Terminal. I do not believe that who is anybody here on earth to give that judgment to anybody?
Mm-hmm.
I'm against that word because I think, you know, it absolutely puts people in a terminal set of mind. They go, you say the word cancer, everybody goes into absolute freak out.
Hey, when I had cancer, I didn't let anybody say the word. I didn't spell it out. I
right.
didn't own it. And I didn't let the doctor tell me all the nasty details because I knew my brain would just play that over and over and over because my brain needed all its energy to heal.
And everything, too. You know, if you read metaphysics, and that's what this show is about, you know, we're co-creators, and we co-create with our thoughts and our mind and our words. And even in everything we do, we can see that. You know, if I am, you know, if I critique somebody badly, you know, it affects me and affects them. It affects our energy, our vibration. And so really, truly, this whole thing of somebody giving somebody a terminal diagnosis, I mean, these doctors, excuse me, ought to be...
Yeah, but you know, I know something
given
about...
Given different verbiage and given an education, because I really think... Well, Deepak Chopra, in his book, Body-Mind Healing, talked about how he examined a man and said, God, I don't even know how you walked in here, and the guy immediately went into a massive heart attack. And he said
he's probably wondering how he's going to walk out.
Oh, my God. He said he'd never do that again because he knew that he triggered that man, you know, who didn't know he had a care in the world.
Oh, that's
having a massive heart attack. So it's so sad. We've
it sounds like another one of your brilliant, beautiful listeners is calling in.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Airwaves. Name
Hello.
Where you're calling from. Hello.
Hi.
Is that Pat from Chehalis?
That's me.
Hello.
Hey. I just called because I had to comment on your comment on the word terminal, how right you are. But my only problem, and I have a question with that, is then where would we send our trains?
Where would we sell? Good one.
But
well,
you're right.
I don't
like
the terminal.
That word used in the sense of illness and that type of thing, because there is no such thing as terminal in our life force.
Absolutely,
That's
I agree.
True.
So I won't keep you.
It's
I just wanted
another
to call
station
and let
in
you
life.
Know that I love you both, and I'm really enjoying the session.
Thank you,
Thank
Pat,
you so
for
much,
proofing
Pat.
Atira's newsletter that we just sent out to everybody.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Thank you, Earth Angel.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. But it's true, really. And I think we, as individuals, we have to take our power back, too, with our physicians. And anybody in our life, you know, whether it's the radiologist or the whatever you're going through. I have a really dear friend who has kidney issues and has to go to dialysis. And I really try and encourage her, you know, to see everything being cleansed in her body. Use that as a positive thing.
You could sit in
that
chair and
miracles.
Pray for the other people in the chairs, because, you know, there's people around us who have nobody to pray for them.
Well, you know, I don't have children, and I have often wondered who's going to come visit me in the nursing home. And, in fact, I swore my niece to absolutely that when I, because I know she's the one that's going to be coming and checking on me. I said, don't let me have blue hair. Purple's cool, but no blue hair. And if you're going to, don't ever give me the poodle haircut, you know. It's a mohawk or not nothing at all. But it's true. We need to realize that we are responsible for touching many people in our lives. You know that movie, It's a Wonderful Life at Christmas. I love that show. It's my favorite probably show in the whole world, because it's true. We do not know how many lives we touch in a blinking of an eye.
Well, what's exciting is you don't even have to touch them. It's like Marianne Williamson reads the book. She writes a book. We read the book. We pass the wisdom on to somebody else looking for the answer, and that person's healed, and then they go to their children or their girlfriend and pass the wisdom on.
Well, for us, too, I mean, we really do play in La La Angel Land, you know, because the truth was I wasn't looking for a radio show.
No when God brings you things. That's
I know. I don't think it had really entered my mind, and Phyllis, with her fabulous show, Other Dimensions, I think it's called.
She's on Next.
Yeah, she's on Next. She's a doll we had met many, many years ago at the ARE. Called me, wanted to do an interview, and from that I got my own radio show, which I'm very excited about because it does give me an opportunity to bring wonderful other creative people to light and to educate and teach, and that's really what I wanted to do.
You know, I just thought about how I manifest things. There's a spot, it's kind of between your breast center where your heart is, and I just literally hold it in there. I hold it in there for the highest good of everybody. And it's not what you always think it's going to look like. Like, everybody's waiting for your book to come out, but do you know how many people you're touching through your radio show? So that's why you have to do things that God sends you. And I just hold it in there, and then I just know. I, like, wrap it in knowing and know that it's going to be taken care of, and I just hold it like a little golden ball inside me. And I don't let anybody touch it or permeate it or tarnish it, because that's my knowing and my direction. And it's even like when, you know, my first two books, my book Expect Miracles came out, then A Christmas Filled with Miracles followed. My brain was doing that, but, because I always thought it would be the angel writings.
Mm-hmm.
But what was, if I had said no to Expect Miracles and A Christmas Filled with Miracles, the other things wouldn't have evolved like they have. And they've been a beautiful gift and a beautiful tool to inspire other people. So,
Well, I think it's very important to tell people to, you know, that it's very important to, like you said, keep that, whatever your dream is, close to your heart. Really know, don't let anybody talk you out of your dream. That's the other thing. My sister always says you got to have a dream come true, too. So you've got to, you know, and also sometimes really I do think it's important to say, you know, that old saying, thy will be done, not mine, from God, God is all it is. Because sometimes we're trying to make it look like one thing, which is much smaller than what it could be.
Did you see the Oprah show where that lady wanted to meet her movie star? It was a famous singer, and Oprah hooked her up, and she didn't just meet the movie star. She flew to Switzerland or somewhere where the movie star lived. She had lunch with her in her house. They went out and bought shoes together and just played like best girlfriends. And then she went to see the woman's concert. And when she got back, she thought, I wasn't dreaming big enough.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes we're so good at doing less than. You know, I don't know where that gene came from, but I'd like to send it back. You know, we really are coming up in a society where we're taught to settle for less than and not to dream big and not to have expectations. And, you know, it's really a sad thing. And that's one thing I love about the Indigo and the Crystal Kids. They have bigger dreams. And they have bigger expectations, and they don't take no for an answer.
They know where they're going.
They do. And, you know, it's the other thing. Our generation in particular, I think, was taught that if you want something, if you have those kinds of things, that, or you get caught up in, they think it's ego. And I don't think it's ego to know that you're a good columnist or a good writer. Ego is to, you know, big me, little you. But self-esteem is knowing that you're good at whatever you are.
Well,
if
my
you're
secret
a good
is I can't
writer,
spell.
That I love to hear. That is not true. You're much better speller than me.
No, but literally, I'm dyslexic and I can't spell. You're just worse than I am, so I look great in your eyes. But that's why I have Pat, who proofreads everything when I send the newsletters out. And so, but it's about the message.
But you do paint with words, Mary Ellen, and that's one thing I've got to say. If you haven't read Angel Scribe newsletters, please go to www.angelscribe.com. Please read some of her incredible writings, her incredible newsletters, her angelic writings in particular that are channeled are magnificent.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry, Mary Ellen, it's time for us to say goodbye to our listening audience.
And thank you, BBS, for letting us to talk on the phone and share the joys in our life with all of the listeners, too.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mary Ellen, for not only being my absolute best friend as a webmaster of the website, but for all the wonderful things you do for the world and your newsletter. And just, you know, I tell everybody that you're a cross between Peter Pan and Mary Poppins, practically perfect, because it's true.
Thank you
so very much. And for the listeners, please remember to let your heart light shine and light your way and the way for others. Until we talk again, I wish you lots and lots of angel blessings, and keep your dream alive, and know that you can have your dream manifested too.